Henry VIII, King and Court, written by Alison Weir and read by Phillida Nash.
Introduction. In 1517, the papal nuncio, Francesco Chirigato, arrived at the court of Henry VIII and was stunned by its magnificence. "The wealth and civilization of the world are here," he marvelled, "and those who call the English barbarians appear to me to render themselves such. I here perceive very elegant manners, extreme decorum, and great politeness, and amongst other things there is this invincible king, whose acquirements and qualities are so many and excellent that I consider him to excel all who ever wore a crown." Coming from a Venetian, imbued with the culture of the Italian Renaissance, this was praise indeed, and a reminder of what Henry VIII achieved during the first decade of his reign. Today we need such a reminder, because the splendours of Henry's court are long vanished, and it requires a great leap of the imagination to reconstruct the reality from what few remains there are. Henry VIII succeeded to the throne in 1509 to great acclaim. He had all the virtues expected of a Renaissance prince, yet by the time he died in 1547, he had acquired the reputation of a tyrant whose hands were soaked in the blood of the many he had executed, among them two of his six wives. Because he married so many times, he has gone down in history as a veritable Bluebeard. Over the centuries, the truth about the king has become blurred by his legend, which culminated in Charles Laughton's caricature of him in the 1930s film The Private Life of Henry VIII. Thanks to this, Henry still lives in the popular imagination as a man who thought of nothing but chasing the ladies, and who threw chicken bones over his shoulder as he presided over court feasts in the Great Hall. The reality, of course, was strikingly different. As a rule, Henry did not dine in the great halls of his palaces, and his table manners were highly refined, as was the code of etiquette followed at his court. He was, in fact, a most fastidious man, and, for his time, unusually obsessed with hygiene. As for his pursuit of the ladies, there is plenty of evidence, but most of it fragmentary, for Henry was also far more discreet and prudish than we have been led to believe. These are just superficial examples of how the truth about historical figures can become distorted. Fortunately, scholars during the last few decades have undertaken a vast amount of research on Henry VIII and his court, and it is now clear that many of our earlier perceptions of both must be revised. Henry was a complex personality of many talents, and there is so much surviving source material for his reign that we know even the most intimate details of his personal life. Furthermore, this man of exquisite taste and a grand sense of majesty established the most magnificent court ever seen in England. No English sovereign ever owned as many houses as Henry VIII, or spent so lavishly on a lifestyle deliberately calculated to enhance his own prestige. Few monarchs have been surrounded by so many talented and charismatic personalities as Henry was, and few have ever been so controversial. My aim in this book has been to draw together a multitude of strands of research in order to develop a picture of the real Henry VIII, his personal life throughout his reign, the court he created, and the people who influenced and served him. Hitherto, studies of the Henrician court have concentrated on household organisation, art and culture, or courtier factions. I aim to paint a far broader canvas which incorporates all of these themes and much more, and sets the life and reign of the king for the first time ever against a realistic portrayal of his court. In an age of personal monarchy, the court was at the hub of royal government. But this is not a political history of the reign,